We just got off of our episode with Amanda Michelle, who is a direct descendant of Guarani Nation in Paraguay. She shared a lot with us about her history as a transracial adoptee and someone who holds space for people coming off of plant medicine ceremonies. So if you haven't had a listen, go ahead and check it out now. And she also works with activated living. So it's a plethora of information.
Yeah, she has a really good podcast.
Yes.
Activated Living podcast. That's really good.
Yeah. So Tamsin, what have you been reflecting on since we talked to Amanda?
Oh man, first of all, Amanda's a Capricorn, so it was so it's a Capricorn to Virgos. That's just like heaven for us, because you can have like these deep intellectual conversations, and my brain was on fire. You know, I was thinking about how she kicked it off of like when we asked her, like, what's the most beautiful thing about you? And I love that she said her hair, like this like superficial beauty, but she also started explaining about her perception of beauty as this essence. And then throughout the interview, she kept saying, like, I see beauty as an essence, as an essence. And I think that really hit me, like, and that is so similar to what I think what Chinese medicine would see as beauty, right? So that was like the first thing that really popped out.
Mm-hmm. And she talked about those three different types of bodies. And I also was thinking how, I mean, in the West, we'll say like mind, body, spirit. And then in Chinese medicine, there's the spirit, the essence, the heart and mind is kind of like one. So I was just like thinking of all of those parallels too that were really interesting to me.
Yeah. And then her story of being adopted and then finding out that her brother was adopted to a family 20 minutes away from her. Like he could have been adopted anywhere in the world, right? And or like anywhere in the US, anywhere in that state. It's literally 20 minutes away. And the fact that both families had to agree to the fact that they were okay with having them meet at such a young age, because he was like only one and a half or something. And I think she was like around a little, just a few years older. And meeting your brother, I mean, the whole story just gave me so many chills.
Yeah. And I feel like the adoption agency it seemed like it was a conscious thing that they,
because it wasn't allowed.
Right.
Like, so it was a closed adoption,
but they basically were like, this isn't necessarily how we're supposed to do things, but I just want to let you know, it's kind of uncanny. They're going to end up 20 minutes away.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that must've made such an impact on her, seeing somebody else who looks like her at such a young age. And knowing that there is someone else in the world that looks like her.
Right.
And you kind of mentioned you have cousins that were adopted, right?
Yes. Three biologically full siblings that were adopted. And on my mom's side, and then on my dad's side, three separate girls from China. So both sides of my family have three
from different adopted families.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then, you know, my dad's white, right? But his family, they three adopted Chinese girls. So like there's Chinese on both sides. And then my mom, her brother adopted three, the siblings, they're mixed race, local to Hawaii.
Yeah. I've been following a few transracial adoptees on Instagram, just because it's like something that I don't think about. We don't have any adopted kids in our family. My first like real boyfriend, he was adopted, and but he still had contact with his biological family, and it was kind of like adopted but not really. It was more like their country was at war, so his family had a lot of money to get the two sons out of the country. And so they were adopted, but it was like, they still had ties to the family because they were older. And yeah, like he grew up in like a super, he's not white. He grew up in a super white, like farm place, like 4-H. I didn't even know what 4-H was. Like 4-H is like an agricultural club in high school, if you live in like the rural areas. And like, yeah, it's like a club, right? And I'm from New York. So I'm like, what? And so like, it's a club where they like do, like his thing was like showing, I don't want to say cows, steers, man, I don't know these animals, these farm animals, but like bulls, like, and like, you gotta like show them like dog shows, but they're bulls. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do for their club. Like they get up in the morning, they take care of their animals. And then like the whole thing is like to present them at this show. So that's the 4-H club.
Oh, this is like eHarmony for farmers or something.
But they're in high school, they're kids, they're in high school.
Right. But I'm like, but yeah.
So, you know, I think he grew up like, and his brother was, his older brother was also adopted in the same family. So they had each other and they were older, but still growing up in a predominantly white rural place. Like he grew up feeling really disconnected, not thinking that he was beautiful. He's very attractive. Like he's gorgeous. And so it like messed up his confidence, especially his confidence, like, and his, like, it exacerbated his insecurities. And it's funny because like when we were together, and I never wanted to have kids, but I thought like, mm-hmm. if I was going to have kids, I would want to adopt. And he was like, I don't want to adopt.
Mm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But what were his reasons?
I think his experience was so painful. Well, he just like wouldn't be able to do that. But then I asked like another friend who was adopted too. And she said the same thing. But this was all in my 20s. So like, I'm not a deep thinker in my 20s. Yeah. I'm like, cool, let's take a shot. You know, it's like now as an adult, I'm like, I wonder why. But with him, mm-hmm. I did ask. And it was like, just reminders. It was like too painful.
Wow. Yeah, my parents' good friends, they adopted a daughter. And she, when she became an adult, she met her biological family. And they became very close. They would go on trips together. And then she came out of the closet to her biological family. And then they rejected her.
Okay. Oh,
and so it was like a double punch. I mean, you know, I don't know the reasons why she was adopted to begin with as a baby, but I hear that adoptees feel that deep sense of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have started a relationship as an adult and then feel comfortable and close enough to let them know that she was gay, to then be like rejected again. I mean, that really was a very sad tailspin for her and her family.
Yeah. Ugh. Was her adopted family accepting?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. Like they were so open-minded and went with the flow and supported her rekindling this relationship with her biological family. And she had siblings. And then when that happened, I mean, they were just like, good God. Like, oh, I guess we really see who they are. Yeah. Oh,
I hope they can, I don't know, get together later. Maybe the family will like come to a place where they're like, we were wrong. All of this made me think about like me and my family and like looking at my family, because my family has like jokes about like my mom is always like, because I don't look anything like my mom. Mm-hmm. And so she would always joke. I know this is going to sound harsh, but this is just how our family jokes. But she would always say like, you know, can't wait until your real family comes and picks you up. And like, I was born in Kansas too. And Kansas is super white. Right. And And I think there were like maybe another Asian baby that was born at that time too.
Mm-hmm. Or like a swap.
Yeah. And she's like, and so whenever my mom and I have something that we like similar, like a food or something, she's like, oh, maybe you are my daughter. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can't wait for my mom to come, my real mom to come, and maybe she's rich and like, and I never have to deal with you again. So we just go back and forth. But I sat for a painting for an artist, a friend of mine, who painted two pictures of me. And when he painted me, it was the first time I was like, oh my God, I look like my mom. Like,
wow.
The painting looked like my mom, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I realized, do I look like my mom? Because I don't think I do. She doesn't think I do. And so it made me reflect, like, I don't know, like looking at my mom, and because in terms of face reading too, it's like there are certain traits I have that come from her that are in my face that I've been also working on as a woman, like all of like her trauma and stuff is placed onto me and like, and working through that, you know? And so I don't know if I'm making any sense, but it just, yeah. Do you look like your parents? Do you look like your mom or dad?
I look like both of them.
Oh yeah. Mixed.
Yeah. I look just like half of my mom and half of my dad.
Wow. What about your brother?
He looks like I look like half my mom, half my dad. And my brother looks like full my mom, full my dad, compounded onto one person. It's like my mom's brows add my dad's brows. And then it's like every feature, my like mom's nose, add my dad's nose. So it's like on top of it. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's like an addition of them. And I'm like a pure hybrid.
It also made me think about my nephews because they're mixed race. And my first nephew, he looks like my kid. Like he looks just like me. Like we have the same features, and he and I have this deep spiritual connection too.
Aww.
And so it's so weird. Like we have like the same kind of smile, the same like eyes and stuff like that. And then him and his brother, the younger one, they don't look anything alike. They look like, we joke, like they look like cousins. And my mom's like, no, they look like neighbors. Like they're not even
Oh my God. I love the kinds of comments that take place in your household.
Oh yeah. We're hilarious.
Well, so how has all of this, you know, speaking of identities and family and how we resemble different members or don't, and then coming off of Amanda's episode, like, where are you now with your beauty story? And how you feel about your own beauty legacy?
So I think my new thing that I've been reflecting on is, well, a couple of things. Like, well, one thing that Amanda mentioned, that in growing up, she didn't have any representation of people that look like her, like in media or in magazines and stuff. And we've kind of heard this from other guests, right? Like Amrit and Angie and how, because of that, they really experimented with their looks throughout high school,
right?
Each of them, actually. Like Angie was a total goth and she explored the goth scene, right? Amrit, she said she played roles, right? Like she was like the funny girl and then like the cool girl.
The smart and really funny girl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until she figured out how to do makeup and stuff like that.
Right.
And then Amanda talked about how she was kind of punk, right? She like colored her hair. And so that to me, I feel like when you're younger, you do that. You like explore different identities through looks, right? And changing the way that you look. And there's this like, at that time when you're young, I'm sure it's fun, exciting, but there is also like a sense of loneliness and painfulness. Like I'm trying to find who I am and trying to find a group that understands me.
Right.
But when I look back as an adult now, I'm like, wow, that's like so fearless and so smart, right? And like, we lose that as an adult. We don't like express and like change our identities like every year, like, or whatever, as an adult, right? And add that like exploration of expressing your beauty.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, like, as children, it does come off as like playful and fun and experimental. And then I feel like if adults, or when adults do those similar things, mm-hmm. people are like, whoa, they're unstable. Whoa, yeah. they must be going through a crisis. Whoa, they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what gets put onto any sort of change outside of how people know you as an adult. Like, if you were to show up in a way that they didn't remember you as an adult, the narrative that they'd be spinning would be completely different than if you were a child. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another reason why probably there aren't a lot of adults that are as bold and playful and experimental as they may feel internally because of society.
Yeah. And I hate that. I'm yeah. like, I don't like that. And like, I think I do it to a point. Like, I have like clothes for certain things that like, for, but now, you know, I don't go out. So it's like, I'm literally wearing the same thing every day.
Right.
But like, you know, yeah. If I like showed up one day and like my hair was pink and then next week, like I was dressed like a nerd. And then, you know, why is that not accepting? Like, why do people question it as an adult? But as a kid, like, it's like totally normal to explore and constantly explore the way that you express yourself.
Right.
What were yeah. you like? Did you have like a look? Did you go through these phases where you're changing your looks?
Oh my gosh, Tamsin, you know how every time you're like, I'm learning so many things yes. about you. So middle school through high school, my auntie, my auntie and uncle are both attorneys. Well, my auntie actually passed, but without children. So, and I was the oldest granddaughter, oldest niece. And so my auntie would actually take me shopping every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I had we had a personal shopper.
Oh my God. You had a rich auntie.
Neiman Marcus.
Oh.
And so the thing is, I never wore the same thing twice from seventh grade through high school.
Oh my God. Did you have an expiration date on clothes too?
On Wednesdays, she would go shopping like at boutiques in our town. And then on Sundays. Yep. And then on Sundays, she would take me shopping at Neiman Marcus with our shopper who would pull outfits for me. I'd try them on and we'd buy them. So middle school through high school, I was known as this like high fashion couture, never wore the same thing twice person who everyone talked about. My outfits, my clothes, my closet. And I was a fashion icon. Like, yeah, I actually may have been the fashion icon. And then she passed away. She passed away the last day of my junior year of high school. But my senior year, I still had a whole like clothes and clothes and clothes. And then I went away, you know, to college in Ohio, and that I completely left that part of me behind. Cause in small liberal arts school in Ohio, it's like, I don't know, North Face.
And because it's so cold.
Yeah. So that just, and then I never really went back into that phase because of like, I just didn't want to spend money on those types of things, but
yeah.
Wow. So you didn't miss it, or you didn't like,
mm-mm.
But no, you liked, and that's being a fashion icon.
Yeah, I did. I definitely did, because uh-huh. I think people wanted to see what I would wear every day.
Yeah.
And I wore like really cool, interesting, high fashion looks, like off runways.
You brought the Met Gala to
yes.
high school in Hawaii.
Exactly. But then I think people thought that I was like high maintenance or materialistic, or like needed a certain level of wealth. But then I didn't. Yeah, I never really like looked back on that and like longed for it, or wished I could have maintained that, or gone back to that. Like, I've never had that happen.
Were you a mean girl?
You know, the funny thing is, like, when that movie came out, my yeah. dad was like, this is just like you and your friend.
Oh my God.
But I don't know. Like I was really nice and I was really nice to everyone. But I think just like that presence on campus was probably similar.
You're done.
He's like, this movie is just like you and your friends. Teachers would say things. They would be like, you guys are nice when you want to be nice, and you're not that nice and you don't want to be that nice.
Okay, so yeah, you were a mean girl, Paige. It sounds like you might have been a mean girl.
Oh my god.
Wow. That's interesting that like you just kind of like was like, all right, that was a cool phase. Now I'm done with it. Like, because I can see like if you grow up like that at a young age, it could make you very materialistic.
Right. And that was the assumption, I think, for such a long time about myself that other people had.
Wow. Yeah. So where are you on your beauty journey then now after listening to Amanda?
Gosh. I feel like I'm becoming more and more at peace with aging. And I know aging wasn't a big focus with Amanda, but I just have been feeling more that way since with each guest that we have and how we talk about different identities and exploring different identities and coming to acceptance of them. It's just bringing me a lot more ease and making me feel less anxious about my own.
Were you anxious? Journey. Because it's like, you seemed pretty at ease. You're like, cool, I'm going to age. Like I'm going to be a teacher, a wise teacher.
Yeah. So I guess then I would say like, it's affirming that feeling instead of. What about you though? Cause I feel like you were a little bit more like, oh my God, I don't want to get older. I thought I was going to die young. And now that I'm getting older, like, what does this look like for me? Like, where are you with, you know, a handful of guests in and.
Yeah. I need to clarify, like that has nothing to do with how physically I'm looking, like physically getting old. It has nothing to do with that. It's something much more conceptual that I don't understand. So it's not this fear of looking old. And it's more this fear of how we treat elders in our society and how they're invisible and nobody cares about them. And that is painful. And that's always been my thing. Like even when I was younger, I was in Girl Scout and we had to do like community service and we would always do like a community service at a senior center. And I would cry when I got back home at like 8 years old, because it was so sad for me to see these people who got so excited to hang out with us. And to me, I was like, where are their family? Why are they living here? You know? And yeah. I still get very emotional when I see like elder people being mistreated. And, you know, with all the rise in anti-Asian violence, like that really broke me, because it's like, that's me. Like I can easily be a target. And so I don't know where I am with the aging thing. It's like, I'm still exploring it. I think I am proud that I don't identify myself with my work. And that's something that I've done my whole life, that like I define who I am by the work that I do or that my job title. And lately I don't. And that I think in itself is scary too, because like you and Angie were saying how when you get older, it's like you're considered the wise teacher, you know, and my thing was like, yeah, but when I'm at the grocery store, no one sees me as a teacher. So,
right.
But I think that's healthy for me to disconnect myself from the work that I do. And I think that's part of like that came with the anti-Asian violence. It's like all these people that were being killed, assaulted, you know, and then you hear like, oh, they were a graphic designer. They were this like mother, grandmother, you know, and all these stories. But when that happened, they weren't any of those. They were just an Asian face. And so it really hit me that like, oh, like I thought getting money was going to make me stand out, right? And I had jobs where I made a lot of money and that didn't change. And then I thought like, oh, being skinny is going to change the way people treat me. And I was skinny. That didn't change. Oh, wearing really expensive clothes is going to make people change how they treat me. And I'm like, oh, I've done that. That still doesn't work. And so it's like, at first it's like, it's scary and frightening of like basically understanding your privileges and realizing they are privileges. Like they're, you know, and then now being like, okay, if none of that matters, then what really matters? And so that's where I am. I have no idea. But
I was gonna be like, tell us, what is it?
Yeah. Right. But I have no idea. Tune in next episode.
Okay.
It's a cliffhanger.
I mean, that's a good place because, you know, we were saying how in September it's both of our birthdays and we'll be several episodes in, and we're gonna want to spend more time doing reflective episodes. And that would be super cool if right before your birthday, you have that answer.
I highly doubt it,
but no pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was so fun, Tamsin.
Yeah, I had a good time. I would love to have Amanda back because it's like so many other questions that I want to ask. And even that for the other guests too. It's like, I would love to have them all back to just like check in on where their beauty journey lasted within.
That would be really cool.
All right. Well, thanks everyone. Yep. Definitely check out the episode with Amanda in our previous episode, and then we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Bye.